Hey everybody, it is April the 15th. This is Born on This Day. I'm with myself. I'm with Amanda.
You pretty much are. I have a migraine and I'm wearing something on my head to
listen. It's a rough time for Born on This Day. Marco has a migraine, Bill has a bum shoulder, and I'm just busy.
You give us bum steers, so you know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've never pulled my weight this entire year in this podcast, and I don't plan on starting now. So, speaking of weight pulling,
yes,
it is National Titanic Remembrance Day. Each year on April 15th, we remember the Titanic. If you haven't heard about it, spoiler alert, it sank in the icy waters of the North Atlantic Ocean in April of 1912. There's lots of, obviously, movies and exhibits dedicated.
There's a musical, Titanic.
Oh, God, yes.
Did you see it? Or somebody was telling me about it, how it
well, remember,
people sing as they fall off the boat. Yeah,
something like that. Yes, that's true. Yeah. It was short-lived. But didn't we see something about that in Vegas? Didn't we see like an excerpt
from the topless show that was no longer topless? They did a Titanic thing. We saw the non-topless version of Jubilee. And
Jubilee has a topless version and a non-topless version. So we saw the non-topless version of Titanic.
I talked about it with Bill.
It's Titanic. It's Sodom and Gomorrah for
they
some
do
reason.
Scenes of tragic things that happen in history, topless.
Jubilee. It's the weirdest show. Thank you, Bally's, for making it all happen.
Bally's Hotel and Casino.
Yeah, it's Bally's Jubilee. Anyway, if you were born, so it's Titanic Day, back to, not to trivialize this, because a lot of people did lose their lives, 1,500. You know, they hit the iceberg on April 14th. And this was the day that it sank.
Okay.
Unfortunately, and some people survived, like the unsinkable Molly Brown.
Yep.
So many people, obviously.
Some people wouldn't share their raft, and so
some people saw the movie in Korea in a theater completely by herself at like 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And the floor was sticky. They didn't really clean movie theaters in Korea back then. I don't know what it's like now.
But so they don't really clean movie theaters here. They can be very sticky too sometimes.
No, that's so, yeah, true. That's,
I think it's just the nature.
And it was
of
like in a basement building. Right. Anyway, so it kind of felt like I was in the bowels of a ship. Was what I was
cool.
going to say. It was sticky. It was dank. And it was perfect place to watch that movie. I also just want to plug, for no real reason, the exhibit at the Halifax, I think it's like the Marine Disaster Museum, of which Halifax has seen its share. They have a deck chair from the Titanic that they found floating, and because everybody in Halifax and Newfoundland went and helped with the rescue efforts.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. If you are born today, your personality is defined by a fun-loving attitude. You are optimistic and generous-tick. There are many people who have a negative outlook on life, but that is not you. You truly enjoy living and experiencing new things. You're always upbeat. You're always optimistic.
All right. Well, let's see what happens on this list as I work through this migraine. Alice Braga is the daughter of an acclaimed actress, Sonia Braga, who, by the way, I partied with in New York City when I lived there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so the Coke days, Marco.
Yeah. Well, we didn't do Coke, but she was really lovely, and it was pretty cool to
be
at a party.
When you say you partied in, like, the early 90s in New York, I just, well, it's more
It
80s.
Was the mid-90s, first of all.
Okay.
80s? How old do you think I am?
I didn't
Jesus
say
80s. Christ. Oh. Okay, anyway, Sonia Braga was at a party that I was at, and it was pretty cool because it was my first New York party where a celebrity was at.
Oh,
and I was
cool.
Like, and you know who she is, right, Sonia Braga?
No idea.
She played Theo's teacher on The Cosby Show. That's how you might know her. But she was also in Kiss of the Spider Woman and a bunch of Brazilian films. Anyway, so let's get back to her daughter and not make this about her mom. Alice Braga made her debut in the Oscar-nominated 2002 film City of God and jump-started a very successful career since. She appeared in the Will Smith film I Am Legend, the adaptation of the novel Blindness, the sci-fi thriller Predators, and the 2017 fantasy The Shack. In 2016, she began starring on Queen of the South, which is now in its fifth season, Amanda. She will soon be seen in the Suicide Squad sequel, and she was born on this day in Sao Paulo, Brazil, one of the most beautiful places on earth, in 1983.
Well, at the age of 11, Emma Watson became an international celebrity when she was cast in the highly coveted role of Hermione Granger in the first Harry Potter film, The Philosopher's Stone, or in America, it's known as The Sorcerer's Stone, very interesting, in 2001. She appeared in the remaining Harry Potter films at the age of 15, becoming the youngest person to ever appear on the cover of Teen Vogue, and later continuing to appear in films while attending Brown University to study literature. Not too shabby, the fact that she used that money and took herself to a prestigious school. An American school, interestingly enough. She made her first non-Potter film in 2011, My Week with Marilyn. I've always wanted to see it. I've heard conflicting things, but that's a movie I've always wanted to see and never have. A year later, she starred in The Perks of Being a Wallflower, and then she appeared in Sofia Coppola's The Bling Ring, giving her best American accent. Oh, you know, it's ironic, really. Satirical kind of look, in a way. And so she gives a real, like, vocal fry from the valley kind of thing. Darren Aronofsky's Noah and the 2015 film Colonia. In 2017, she played Belle in the live-action remake of Beauty and the Beast, which was the biggest box office hit of that year. Wow. And in 2019, she played Meg in Greta Gerwig's remake of Little Women.
She was in Little Women, the one we saw at the movie theater?
Yes.
She was in it?
Yes, she was Meg. She was the
one who dies in the forest fire or whatever?
No, that's bad. Okay. The forest fire.
Whatever. I got a migraine. Just give me a break.
Amy falls in the lake.
Right.
Beth gets sick, gets better, and then dies.
Right.
Amy gets sick from falling in the lake, but she makes it out.
Mm-hmm.
And she steals Joe's man, basically.
Okay.
Joe doesn't get married.
I don't need
no,
to
No,
need
but anyone. Meg is like the one that's like, you think I'm so simple. The eldest. She's the eldest. Anyway, whatever.
What's her artistic endeavor? Just tell me that.
Marrying.
Okay.
Anyway, she was born on this day in Paris, France in 1990.
Okay. She was in that garbage film that we saw with Tom Hanks. We went to the theater to see it, remember?
Garbage film
with Tom Hanks where he was like a... You remember, she was in a
From
film.
The mouth of migraines.
Okay, it doesn't matter. We saw it in the theater, and Tom Hanks is like a guru, like a...
Yeah, like Apple, like yeah, Google. She works at Apple. Was that her? Yeah, that was her. And then she like rows her boat out into the lake. And then, what was that called?
It was garbage. You can look it up if you want.
In
the meantime, I'm going to talk about Luke Evans, who moved to Cardiff as a teenager and won a scholarship to the London Studio Centre before he began appearing in London's West End in various theatrical productions. He burst into movies as an action star, appearing in Clash of the Titans, Ridley Scott's Robin Hood, and the Stephen Frears film Tamara Drew, before breaking through as Shaw in Fast and Furious 6, a rare case of an openly gay actor becoming an action movie star. In 2014, he played the lead role in Dracula Untold, appeared in Ben Wheatley's High Rise, the thriller The Girl on the Train, and played Gaston opposite fellow birthday celebrant Emma Watson in Beauty and the Beast. Not to be mistaken with Beautician and the Beast. most recently, he was on the miniseries The Alienist, Are You Okay? And will soon be seen in Nine Perfect Strangers. He was born on this day in Ponytail in Pontypool, Wales in 1979. Give me a break and read the next one.
Ponytail,
Wales.
Well, Seth Rogen is not gay. The gays, I'm sure, do not want him.
You don't know that. Maybe he
and
is.
You're right. He hasn't come out.
Right.
But again, I don't. He's pretty
slovenly. Is that what you want to
yes,
say?
Yes, okay. That's exactly the all word. Right. Anyway, but
gay people can be slovenly.
They can. I'm so sorry. we're just digging a deep hole here. And he is Canadian and certainly from Vancouver. He's all things Vancouver. He dropped out of high school to do stand up in Los Angeles and thinks we can't tell based on the way he writes, perpetually laughing too loud at his own jokes. Okay, well, Bill shares his Seth Rogen feelings. He's had a hard time. Anyway, he's made his debut on the beloved cult series Freaks and Geeks. Of course, that was filmed, I believe, in Vancouver. Or maybe not. I don't know.
No, I don't think it was.
Well, it was full of Vancouver talent. Anyway, oh, okay. Later he had, or full of Canadian talent, I should say. He also had roles in Anchorman, Donnie Darko. He made his breakthrough in The 40-Year-Old Virgin, which, by the way, I really did enjoy that movie for what it's worth, back when I saw it years and years ago in the theater. 2 years later, he became a star with Knocked Up. Didn't enjoy that one so much. Then began having his screenplays produced, including he wrote Superbad, Pineapple Express, The Green Hornet, and Watch. Plus starred in The Guilt Trip, James Franco's adaptation of The Sound of the Fury, and the controversial 2014 comedy The Interview, which he also directed. Remember that? North Korea.
Yeah, so they're gonna bomb
people.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a whole thing. And anyway, in 2016, he wrote and starred in the animated film Sausage Party, which is
terrible.
Beyond bad.
But Bill liked it on his really? My old addiction. Yeah, he gave it like four and a half bees, I think.
I hated that movie. Anyway, he appeared in the comedies Neighbors 1 and 2, and in 2019 co-star with Charlize Theron in Long Shot, which is not the documentary. So watch the documentary Long Shot on Netflix, because it's mind-blowing.
Okay.
And wonderful. He was born on this day in Vancouver, British Columbia in 1982. Listen, we've been really hard on you, Seth. We're very sorry.
I'm not. I tried to defend him. I like Seth Rogen. Beautician and the Beast is a film that deals with the theme of cultural differences and takes inspiration from other stories like Beauty and the Beast, The King and I, Evita, and The Sound of Music, although it was a box office bomb.
Pygmalion, I would think. I mean, it's really just what George Bernard Shaw actually envisioned. Okay. Do you want me to keep going?
Yeah, can
you're
you
having
do this
a hard time?
One? Yeah, because I just want to read more about Beautician and the Beast, to be quite honest with you.
Go. All right, we're plowing through here. Listen, we have another Emma celebrating her birthday today, and she is the greatest Emma of them all. She is the daughter of actress Phyllida Law and children's show host Eric Thompson. Yes, we're talking about Emma Thompson. She got her own career started after performing with the Cambridge Footlights, performing on the shows Alfresco and Tutti Fritti, and meeting her first husband, Kenneth Branagh, on the miniseries Fortunes of War. She had her own short-lived variety show, Thompson, in 1988. She had her first lead role in a film in the comedy The Tall Guy in 1989, followed by collaborations with Kenneth Branagh on Henry V and Dead Again, and the ensemble period film Impromptu. In 1992, she did become a box office sensation and international star when her performance in the movie that Bill has seen the most amount of times in his life.
What film is that?
This is we're talking about Howard's End.
Oh, not Beautician and the Beast.
I've never seen Howard's End.
I saw it at the movie theater years ago with Linda Mora. I hated it. She loved it. It was a bunch of us went from high school to go see it.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, I feel like everybody going from high school is maybe not the
or maybe
the
we
hilarious
just
rom-com that you had hoped it would be. Anyway, it earned her every Best Actress prize that year, including the Oscar. She quickly followed it with two nominations the following year, in The Remains of the Day and In the Name of the Father. In 1995, she became the only person to have Oscars for both acting and writing, which is crazy to think, but that's what happened when she won Best Adapted Screenplay for Sense and Sensibility. She later starred in Angels in America, in Love Actually, which I feel like a younger audience, because that movie does get played every year, is maybe how they know and connect to her, with her Primary Colors. And who did I
she
see?
She was in John Travolta. John Travolta was in that with her.
But who wrote Primary Colors? I just found out who wrote it, and it fascinated me, and now I don't remember. She was also in Stranger Than Fiction, that crazy movie. Wrote and starred in the Nanny McPhee films. She's wonderful in those. She also starred in the film adaptation of the play Wit, which I've never seen, which she also wrote. I believe the adaptation is what she wrote, not the original play, I would assume. In 2013, she played P.L. Travers in Saving Mr. Banks. She was great in that too. One of her best performances. Yes, we agree, Bill. Most recently, she was in the films Late Night, which, you know, was unfortunately something happened with that film. It had great bones and then it did not.
It was garbage.
Yeah, it was not good. And How to Build a Girl, which I'm dying to see, actually, because I love that author, Caitlin. And the miniseries Years and Years. And she wrote and co-starred in the movie Marco likes to call Wham Christmas.
Wham Christmas.
That's right. I forgot she wrote Wham Christmas. Yeah, Wham Christmas, but it's also, it's Last Christmas, right. But we call it Wham Christmas.
Because they just took a Wham song and they made a movie around it.
You want to know something about Wham Christmas?
What?
Yeah, they literally did just take it. And it got really overwritten because I guess she had been working on the screenplay for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like George Michael was alive when she started it. Right. And
they were friends, supposedly.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Unfortunately, she just things kept getting added to that script. Right. And it was just about five things.
But what did you
want
to tell me about Christmas? You're like,
it's the last movie you and I saw in the theater.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She was born on this day in London, England in 1959. Who wrote Primary Colors?
Elaine May.
Oh, and that's why.
It was directed by Mike Nichols.
Yeah, that's why. Because I didn't know that. And I just was looking up Elaine May recently because of this podcast. Yeah. Oh, the things I've learned. Oh, another wonderful, great British actress.
Okay, Maisie Williams was 14 when she was cast as Arya Stark on Game of Thrones. And quickly became a fan favorite, including mine, earning 2 Emmy nominations for her performance on 8 years of that series. She went on to appear in the films Gold and Mary Shelley, was in an episode of Doctor Who, and last year was on the show 2 Weeks to Live. In 2020, she appeared in the film The New Mutants, which I want to see. I actually saw it on one of our pay channels there. And she was born on this day in Bristol, where I've been, England, in 1997. I've been to Bristol.
Elizabeth Montgomery played Samantha Stevens on 254 episodes of Bewitched, the show about the modern-day witch who gives up her powers to avoid making her husband uncomfortable. The daughter of Oscar-nominated actor Robert Montgomery, she graduated from ADA and made her debut in her father's show, Robert Montgomery Presents, acting on television for a decade by the time her iconic role came beckoning. Bewitched earned her 4 Golden Globe nominations and 5 Emmy nominations. She followed it with a series of TV movies, including 3 more Emmy nominations for the unfortunate, can you imagine this title happening now, A Case of Rape, The Legend of Lizzie Borden, and The Awakening Land. In 1992, she narrated the Oscar-winning documentary The Panama Deception and made her final appearance in the TV movie Deadline for Murder in 1995, the same year she died of cancer at just the age of 62. A 9-foot bronze statue of her as Samantha stands in Salem, Massachusetts. Bill's taken a photo with that. So have Marco and myself.
That's correct.
We've all been to Salem and taken that photo. She was born on this day in Hollywood, California in 1933.
Although she's famous as one of Italy's most glamorous movie stars, Claudia Cardinale was born to Italian parents in Tunisia and didn't learn to speak Italian until she moved to Rome to study at the Centro Sperimentale when she was a teenager. She entered a beauty contest and won it and got noticed by film producers, cast in roles that required her to be dubbed by someone else to avoid her strong accent. In her second film, Big Deal on Madonna Street, she became a star. Then, by the early 60s, hit international popularity with her performances in Cartouche, The Leopard, The Pink Panther, and Fellini's 8½, which was the first time she got to speak with her own voice. Later roles include Stella, The Professionals, Sergio Leone's masterful Once Upon a Time in the West, and the miniseries Jesus of Nazareth. In 1982, she co-starred in Werner Herzog's Fitzcarraldo. You're moving around and it's making me lose my plane.
I'm really sorry.
Oh, it's okay. So she was in this film by Werner Herzog, Fitzcarraldo, in 2009, was in the art house French film, The String, and in 2014 was in the doomed production of Effie Gray, which was written by fellow birthday celebrant Emma Thompson.
There it is.
Wow. What is Effie Gray about?
No idea.
She turns 83 today and still has projects on the horizon, and she was born on this day in Tunis in 1938. Okay, I'll do the next one. Madeline Martin made her debut on Jojo Circus, but became known for her performance as Becca on Californication. Beginning on the show when she was 14 and ending 7 years later. She followed it with the series Hemlock Grove, which was filmed here, and a few appearances on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Last year, she was on an episode of What We Do in the Shadows, also filmed here, and she was born on this day in 1983.
Okay, give me 2 seconds.
Okay, I guess I'll do this next one.
Okay. I'll do it. Trini Dahlholm is a leading lady in Danish cinema, though as a teenager, she was a member of the band that placed third in a Danish musical contest. She was one of the cast members of the explosive Thomas Vinterberg film, The Celebration. I saw that film in 1998. I saw it in the theater with my sister. In 2008, gave an acclaimed performance in the film Troubled Water. In 2010, she starred in the Oscar winner... as the Oscar winner for Best Foreign Film. Sorry, it was the Oscar winner for Best Foreign Film. A Better World by Suzanne Beer. Later was in the Oscar-nominated A Royal Affair. Co-starred with Pierce Brosnan in Love Is All You Need. Not too bad for a Danish actress, you know? But I guess Danish people, they're really good at making their English sound British.
Yeah, so many of them
that do. Guy on Game of Thrones. I've never seen an actor who had perfect English on screen, and then you hear his Danish accent off screen. It's amazing to me. She won Best Actress at the Berlin Film Festival for The Commune in 2016, and 2019 starred in Queen of Hearts, winner of 10 Danish Film Awards. She was born on this day in Odense, Denmark, a place I really want to go to, in 1972.
Most of Trini Dryholm's celebrated films were directed by Suzanne Bier, who also celebrates a birthday today. She began directing films in the early 90s, Amanda, breaking through with the success of Brothers in 2004 and an Oscar nomination for After the Wedding in 2006, with both films being remade in English later on. Cool. She came to Hollywood for Things We Lost in the Fire with Benicio del Toro and Halle Berry, then won the Best Foreign Language Film Oscar for In a Better World. In 2016, she directed the celebrated miniseries The Night Manager, for which she won an Emmy Award, and last year directed Hugh Grant and Nicole Kidman in The Undoing, which I hear is great, and Amanda doesn't want to watch.
So not true.
She was born on this day in Copenhagen, Denmark, in 1960.
And we love our Bond girls here at Born on This Day. So today's Bond girl celebrating a birthday is the lovely Lois Childs, who played the dangerously named astronaut Dr. Holly Goodhead in the 1979 film Moonraker. She was a former supermodel who began acting in the early 70s, making her first notable appearance in The Way We Were, followed by The Great Gatsby, Coma, and the Agatha Christie murder mystery Death on the Nile. After her adventure with the 007, she appeared on a season of Dallas. She had a small part in Broadcast News. She was on episodes of Murder, She Wrote, In the Heat of the Night, and LA Law. In the 90s, she was on Bliss and Speed 2 in Bliss. It's interesting how you're on a TV show, but you're in a movie.
Yes, that's
just
right.
Just realized that. Yeah. She made her latest appearance in the film Kettle of Fish in 2006, after which appears she took a break to focus on recovering from breast cancer, and she just hasn't returned to acting ever since. In 2002, she taught a course in film acting at the University of Houston.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. She says, being a Bond girl is a fun way to be remembered, and she was born on this day in good old Houston, Texas in 1947.
Robert Walker Jr. was born just 3 years before his father.
Robert Walker died. Oh, he was born 3 years before his father died.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Actor Robert Walker. Oh, I see. I didn't finish the sentence. Yeah. Okay. Can you just do this one, Amanda? Sorry.
So you probably figured it out by now, listeners, but Robert Walker Jr. was born just 3 years before his father, actor Robert Walker, died of an accidental overdose. He followed his dad into acting, appearing on episodes of Naked City, The Big Valley, and Star Trek. Later, the films Killers 3, the surprise hit Easy Rider, and the cult classic Beware the Blob. From the 80s, he focused on television work, appearing on episodes of Dallas, Murder, She Wrote, and Santa Barbara. His last appearance was in the 2018 film Heaven's War, a year before his death at the age of 79. He is also the son of Oscar-winning actress Jennifer Jones. He was born on this day in New York City in 1940.
Okay. And last on our list, Amanda, I think I can get through this one. Paula Pell is best known for her years writing on Saturday Night Live, responsible for characters including Debbie Downer.
Well, she's not responsible for Debbie Downer.
Okay.
She probably, the two of them wrote it. The two of them wrote it. Okay. Her and Rachel Dratch.
Okay. Justin Timberlake's Omeletteville's mascot and the Spartans' cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. She was made head writer in 2006 and around that time worked as a producer and writer on the hit comedy series 30 Rock, which I loved. She has written for the Oscars and Golden Globes, wrote the 2015 comedy Sisters with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, and as an actress has appeared in Other People, Wine Country, and performs voices in Inside Out and Big Mouth. In 2020, she wrote and starred on the show Mapleworth Murders for Quibi, and she was born on this day in Joliet, Illinois in 1963.
Yeah, you know, one of the fun things about Wine Country, the movie Wine Country, mm-hmm. if you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix, you can see it anytime, is that, you know, you see people you know, like Amy Poehler and Tina sure. Fey and Rachel Dratch, but, you know, there are other people like these writers, like yeah. Paula Pell, there's a few of them, mm-hmm. And they're all in it too, you know, and it's based on a trip that they actually all went on because they were all buddies. They went on a girl's trip to, you know, go drink wine in Napa Valley right. kind of thing. And so then they wrote this movie, but it's lovely because you see the actual people who are friends, right. not just the pretty skinny ones, yeah. Tina Fey or whatever, you know? So yeah. There's something really fun and real about that that I love. It's not a perfect movie, but it's a really fun movie. And I love that aspect.
Who's that actress who wrote Joy and they wouldn't let her be in the film?
Yeah, she's in it too.
Is she in it? Yeah. And they wouldn't let her be in the movie. And then she's like, okay, screw you. I'm going to write a movie that I get to be in.
I didn't know that it wouldn't let her be in the movie. I thought it was a whole thing of who wrote Joy and she.
And they wouldn't give her
something
credit
about
or
giving
something.
Her credit yeah. for the movie Joy. Yeah, yeah. Okay. But you know, really great. I mean, they're all really great writers, and they go right. on this really. You know, they just have a fun wine drinking. Anna Gastmeyer is in it too. I think she's quite funny in it.
Cool.
Yeah, I might. You know, it's interesting. I could watch it again. I like that movie.
Our podcast is going to end around the same time the Academy Awards are going to happen this year.
Oh, that is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll have to get Bill to do a.
Yeah, the three of us. I believe the three of us should end it. Yeah. The three of us. Yeah.
Stay tuned for that.
It's so crazy to think about.
Okay. Well.
There was something else I wanted to say. Now I don't remember. Well, in any event.
I have nothing else to say. So.
Oh, I'm reading Rachel Dratch's Girl Walks Into a Bar right now.
That's her biography.
Yeah. Well, it's not really bad. It's more about...
Memoir?
It's a memoir about a very specific time in her life. So it's not, you know, complete or anything. But she talks about where she came up with Debbie Downer, which was on a trip in Costa Rica. So, and if you're American, you say Costa Rica. And if you're Canadian, you say Costa Rica. Nobody cares. And Mark, I'm getting the wrap-up signal from a migraine to Marco. Listen, I hope you have a great April the 15th. Remember the Titanic. This was born on this day.